Moms, your prayers make a difference. You're going that extra mile to make sure that we're okay, that we survive and have a chance to thrive. Gives us life and gives us the chance to make something of our lives. We're all blessed to have at least one mom. Most of us are blessed to have ladies, other ladies in our lives, to where it's like we have multiple moms. I want to share with you from a passage of Scripture this morning, a great man in the Bible, one who was a hero of the faith, one who was a deliverer. God gave him two moms. I draw your attention this morning to Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. God gave him two moms. There was a man of the tribe of Levi married to a Levite woman. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. When she could not hide him any longer, she got a papyrus basket for him, coated it with tar and pitch. She placed the child in it, put it among the reeds on the bank of the Nile. You know who we're talking about, the mother of Moses. His sister Miriam stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket along the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered, and so the girl got and went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I'll pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. Then the child grew old. She took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." Caring mothers are integral parts of our lives. We really could not do anything without our moms. In fact, a lot of times, if the only person in the world that still believes in you is mom, the only one sometimes that we think is praying for us is mom, the only one that's encouraging us is mom. George Washington was asked about what was the greatest impact in his life, and he says, "All that I am, I owe to my mother." This was also true, I believe, of Moses. All that he became for God, he owed it to God's call upon his life and the two ladies who were his mom. You see, God still uses mothers to express his love to his kids. He still uses mothers to provide care and nurture for children. And he still uses mothers to educate the young. Moses' mother, her name was Jehochabeth, which means God is glorified, gave him a godly heritage. And Halzaputh, who is Pharaoh's daughter, gave him a king's education. God used the influence of the birth mother. In Acts 7:20, it says, Moses was born and exceedingly fair and nourished up in his father's house for 3 months. But God also used the positive influence out of an adoptive mother. In Acts 7, verses 21 and 22, it said, Pharaoh's daughter took him, Moses, up, and she nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. But the situation in which Moses was born into was a situation of death. You see, really, he never really should have had a chance. He was born a slave. He was born in a slave's household. He had a death sentence that was placed on his head even before he was born. If he'd have been born a girl, moms, if he'd have been born a girl, he wouldn't have had a death sentence. He would have had a life sentence. He was a Hebrew. And in the culture that he grew up when they were slaves in Egypt, Pharaoh had gotten to the point where he decreed and declared that all Hebrew boys who were born were to be exterminated. Basically, they were to be thrown into the Nile and fed to the crocodiles. It was in this kind of a situation that Moses was born. But there was a roadblock to Pharaoh's plan. It was one little lady, a mom, named Jehochabed. While everyone else would bow down to this new order, this one lady would not submit. No one, not even the mighty Pharaoh, could lay his hands on her God-given child and her God-called son. Both of these ladies were good mothers because they had the instincts for their roles. They both loved babies. These two loved particularly this one child. There was something inside of them that reached out to him, not only to embrace him as their own, but to give him a chance of life in the midst of a culture of death. We currently live in a culture of death. Our society does not value life, does not treasure home and family, makes it so easy for abortions to take place and lives to be snuffed out. And little ones, even in our day, little ones to be sold into slavery. You'd think in America? Yes, in America. We live in a culture of death. And just as that world needed a Savior at that time, our world needs a Savior. The Savior's Jesus Christ. We need ladies who will protect the Moseses that God wants to raise up to point our world towards God. Jehochabed had a choice to make. She could accept and say, hey, I've had this child. It's a male. He's yours. And let him take him and throw him in the Nile and feed him to the crocodiles and be in agreement with her society and get by and survive. Or she could do what she knew her instinct said to do. I want to protect this child. Moms, particularly those of you that remember, grandmoms, those of you that remember, how do you hide a newborn for 3 months without anybody knowing that they're there? How do you keep them quiet and away from authorities? How does the sound of their cries go muffled or it's not to where anyone can hear and steal them out of your arms? She took a great risk of her own life to protect the life of Moses. Choosing life's not always an easy decision. But there was another mother there, another lady who became a mother. It was Pharaoh's daughter. Ladies, she was one that was not the natural mother, but she was one who reached out and said, I want to give life to this one. In Exodus 2:6, she opened it, the basket, and saw the baby, and it was crying, and she felt sorry for him. This is one of the Hebrews' babies. She knew he was a Hebrew. The society in which she lived in, the society that her dad was in charge of, had said that all Hebrew males, little children, should die. But she looked into those little eyes and she says, I can't let this one die. I want him to have life. I want him to have life. I'll raise him as my own. I'll give him all that I can. And God in his mighty miracle worked it out that not only was his big sister there, but got his natural birth mother involved, and all were saved and involved in rearing Moses. And Moses was the one that, because two ladies chose life, years later, a people were delivered out of bondage. Ladies, I encourage you always to choose life as a birth mother. I challenge you and encourage you also to choose life as spiritually adoptive moms. Sister Pacetti, Lucille Branton, Jeanette Winicky, Betty Fletcher, Ruth Fowler, Martha Sue Miller. Those are names that don't mean anything to you, but they mean a whole lot to me. They were ladies in my home church of Asheville, North Carolina. They weren't my moms. They were friends of my mom and dad. They were friends of ours. I spent a lot of time at each of their houses, and they spent time at ours. We shared time at church. I knew that those ladies prayed for me. I knew that those ladies loved me. I knew that those ladies encouraged me. And these years later, the ones that are still alive are still encouraging and still praying. And if a lot of what has happened and been accomplished for the Lord in and through my life is because of the godly ladies that God had placed in my home church. Ladies of Somerville Nazarene Church, you got a great ministry. Your ministry of love and care and prayer, of encouragement to mothers, of being a godly lady, the influence that you have could change a life and cause that life to become one that could do more for God than they ever dreamed possible. All because they'd say, Sister so-and-so believes in me. She's like a mom to me. She cares. She showed me Jesus. Let me repeat. Moses lived, and he became the kind of man that he became because of the two mothers who loved him in his life. They loved him from the time he was a baby and all throughout his life. Secondly, he became the kind of man that he did because they did everything that they could to help him. They hid him out in his early months to save his life. How is it that a little mother, wife of a priest who is a slave, could hide out a child? How could she come up with a plan that's going to work? And to me, the irony of it, the simplicity of it, and how it goes at the throat of what Pharaoh was trying to do. Pharaoh was going to throw the babies in the Nile that they would be eaten by crocodiles. What's the perfect way to save a child in that situation? Put him in the river. Put him in the river. Not throw him in for the crocodiles, but put him in a protective basket and have him among the edge of the reeds. And there near the shore that he could be hidden and his cries could be muffled and not seen maybe by mighty armies, but seen by another lady that would reach out and love his life. Neat how God works, isn't it? He just turns what Pharaoh had meant for death, he turned it into life. What he had meant for death, he turned it into deliverance. And she placed that little boat among the bushes and had her sister, Moses' sister, who was there nearby, keeping watch as to who was going to see and take a hold and look into that basket. And she saw that it was a lady high in the Egyptian order. I don't know if Miriam knew that she at first that Pharaoh's daughter was Pharaoh's daughter, but she knew that it was a lady of influence, and that lady cared, and that lady was extending life to her little brother. And how neat it was that a big sister could say, hey, you want me to go get a nursemaid? Translation, you want me to go get my mom? And have my mom come and care for this new child. There again, God works in mysterious ways. Mom, how would you like to get paid for feeding your kids by the enemy? Wow. Even though Pharaoh's daughter was not the natural mother, she did everything that she could for him. She gave him a life in the palace. She saw that he was brought up and given the best education that he could be given. He became powerful in speech and action within the Egyptian arena. And as parents and grandparents, aunts and uncles, spiritual moms and dads, and ladies and gentlemen of influence, we have the opportunity to point people towards God, to save them from the little baskets of protection and help them to develop into the mighty men and women that God intended for them to be. How do we do it? We love them. We guide them. We care for them, and we point them towards God. A teacher gave her class of second graders a lesson one day on the magnet and what it does. The next day in a written test, she included this question. My full name has 6 letters. The first one is M. I pick up things. What am I? When the test papers were turned in at the end of the hour, the teacher went through to grade those papers. She was astonished to find out that more than 50% of her students had answered that question with the word mother. Little boy forgot his Sunday school presentation. But his mom was sitting in the front row to prompt him. She gestured and she formed the words silently with her lips, but it didn't help. Her son's memory had just gone blank. So finally, she leaned forward and whispered the cue, "I'm the light of the world." The child, beaming with great confidence, stood to stand and say his line, "My mom is the light of the world." Moms, you're the light of the world. Stand with me, please. Precious Lord, this day, you've given us a great gift. I've made reference to the fact that I have a godly mother, and you've given me a wife that's a godly mom and grandmom, and I thank you for her. Precious Lord, we also stop to thank you for the other ladies who have great impact, more than they realize. They show us Jesus. They encourage us. They encourage our moms, and they encourage our dads, and maybe even our older sisters and brothers. This morning, we say that these ladies, these moms, you're the light of the world because you show us who really is the light of the world. Thank you for the ministry of the ladies here. Encourage every one of them this day to shine their light for you so that we kids can see you. We ask this in your name, and everyone said, amen. God bless you and share his love. Happy Mother's Day.